series on the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'll take the clicker. Thanks, Kaylee.
You sound sad.
And, you know, I have some good news and some bad news for you guys. All right? The bad news is that we're ending this series. Yeah. Bad news is that this is the last sermon this semester on the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's titled Everything Everywhere All at Once. And we came up with this title because Ecclesiastes is all about finding the meaning of life, right? And with life, everything's thrown at you, right? You're thrown in a bunch of different directions. You're given different meanings from birth, people who tell you what to do, right? In school, they try to teach you and try to sway you to do different things with your life. And so the question is, what is the meaning of life? What is meaningful? What is not meaningful? How should we spend our time? And that's what Ecclesiastes spends time answering. And so the good news is that we finally get the conclusion today of that question. What is the meaning of life, right? And that's a huge question. People spend their whole lives trying to find the answer to that. And so we're going to look deep into that today. Amen?
Come on, Caleb. All
right, so let's do that. The title of my lesson today is Life to the Full.
Amen.
How do we live life to the full? How do we make the most out of our time here on earth? And we're mostly going to camp out in Ecclesiastes chapters 11 and 12. And so if you guys want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11,
come on, Caleb.
That's where we're going to start today.
Help us out.
But a lot of Ecclesiastes is Solomon expressing what things in life do not bring fulfillment.
You got it, bro.
Lindsay stands.
That is not fulfilling.
That is not fulfilling. Sorry, Julia, this is her iPad.
Oh, Julia!
Here, I'll take it out of the stand.
Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, you got it, bro.
Everything everywhere all at once.
This is life to the full, amen? But a lot of Ecclesiastes is Solomon exploring life and really telling people and teaching people what does not bring fulfillment.
Right.
But in chapter 11, he starts to change things around. He starts to talk about, okay, what does bring fulfillment? What brings joy? How should we spend our time? And so let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 7. And he starts here, he says, light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. And we'll stop there. But I love when he says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. Right? I love hearing that. Enjoy life.
Yeah.
Right? Solomon is saying that in order to really live life to the full, we need to enjoy the time we're here on earth. Amen. It makes no sense for us to live life and not enjoy it. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, be happy while you're young, because youth doesn't last. We all get old. Life is short, and every day is a blessing. And as Solomon reflects on his search for life's meaning, he comes to a few conclusions. And so I'm going to look at three of those conclusions today. And the first one we see here, conclusion number one, is that every day is a blessing.
Amen.
His search for meaning, he was able to see that every day is a blessing.
Amen.
And for me, about a year ago, I was with my friend Dante, and we were on our way to go to Mark's place to get some homemade Philly cheesesteaks.
Okay.
Mark had offered to cook us some grub, and so,
wow.
You know, Dante and I, we're celebrating. We're like, we're getting some free food. I've been craving a Philly cheesesteak. And so we're walking through the East Village near NYU, and we're on our way to the subway when this guy stops us. This guy stops us, and he really needs help.
Oh, no.
You know, he's asking for help. and he's really he's standing outside of Chase Bank. And I hear a few of you already saying, oh no. See, I'm not from New York. I didn't know any better, right? And so this guy's talking to me. He needs help with his bank account and cashing in a check. And so as a member of Chase Bank, I felt obligated to help this guy. I was hungry. I did not want to help this guy. I'm telling you, I did not want to help this guy. I was hungry. I was ready to get a Philly cheesesteak. But as a Chase Bank customer, I was like, it's my obligation to help this guy. And so I'm like, okay, what do you need help with? And he's explaining his situation. He's saying that his account is overdrawn by hundreds of dollars and he really needs all the money on his paycheck to pay the bills today. So I'm like, oh man, so what do you want me to do? And he's like, all right, here's what I need you to do. I need you to cash this check into your own account and give me the cash equivalent to the check. And so I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I was like a little suspicious of the guy. And so I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna give you the cash until I see the money is actually in my account. All right. And so I cash in the check and it actually goes through. I print out the receipt and everything. And this check was for $1,900. And so I'm looking at my account. I'm like, oh shoot. It added $1,900 to my account. It went through. I'm like, yes, all right. But now I'm like, okay, there's no turning back. Now I have this guy's money. I have to give him the cash now. And so I give him the cash, we go our separate ways, we get our cheesesteaks. And then the next day, I get a notification from Chase. Said the check was denied. It was a fraudulent check the guy gave me. And I was so frustrated. One, because Chase let it go through the first time and showed that it was in my account. Two, because I was just trying to help this guy. And this is how I get rewarded. For me just trying to help somebody. I was so frustrated and I tried everything I could. I went to Chase, I called Chase. I even filed a police report, nothing. At one point I had to come to terms with the fact that I lost $1,900 just like that. But I share this story because things happen like this all the time. And what I came to realize after I lost that $1,900 is I came to realize that you don't really realize and appreciate what you have until it's gone. Yeah. And I didn't really appreciate that $1,900 until it was gone. And if anything, I was begging for more money at the time. I was trying to save up to propose to Julia at the time and maybe she'd have a bigger ring if, you know. Didn't take my money. But that's how it is sometimes. We take things for granted and we don't really appreciate what we have until it's gone sometimes. If your health is taken from you and you get sick or congested,
seriously,
it's only then when you realize how good it feels to breathe out of your nose. It's only then, right? If you're injured, it's only then you look back and realize, oh, that was nice walking without, you know, pain in my leg. Or lifting things without pain in my hand or whatever it is. Or even if you've experienced any type of loss in your life, you look back and realize just how great it was to have them as part of your life, to spend time with them and to be impacted by their presence, right? But what Solomon is concluding here at the end of chapter 11 is that we need to treat every day as a blessing. We shouldn't wait until after we lose something to appreciate it.
Yeah.
We need to embrace and cherish these things today. Don't take these things for granted. And Solomon starts off verse 7 with the phrase, light is sweet, right? Which is basically a Hebrew expression that means life is good. Light is good. That's what he's saying. Light is sweet. Look at the beauty of the sun. He's saying life is good. Enjoy it. We all have something to be grateful for.
That's right.
Right? We all have things in life that we enjoy. And so I want to ask you guys, what is something you're grateful for and enjoy in life right now? I want to hear some of your responses.
Yeah.
Food.
What is something you're grateful for right now? Something you enjoy?
Music.
All right. I love music too. Who else?
Watching football.
Watching football. This is a great football season. All right. Amazing. Watching football.
Having a family at home.
Having a family. All right. Enjoying time with your family. That's amazing. Yeah, what else? What else are you guys grateful for? Food?
Being healthy.
Being healthy?
Being close to home.
Close to home, yeah.
Pumpkin spice everything.
Pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice is amazing. And so that's why I love fall. I love that. I love that. But we all have things to be grateful for. And if this isn't a normal part of your life or your week, I'd encourage you all to make a gratitude list.
Amen.
Constantly write down and appreciate the things in your life that give you joy. Because otherwise, it's just going to pass by. You're going to take it for granted. And once you lose something, you're going to realize how much you appreciate it. Right? But don't let it get to that point. Enjoy life now. But that's not always easy. Right? Life is good, but life is also very difficult. Even Solomon says, there will be many days of darkness. That's what he says.
Right.
I'll put the scripture back up. He says, there's going to be many days of darkness. And I think he says this. He says, remember the days of darkness. Because remembering the difficult times makes you appreciate the little things even more. Right? Remembering the difficult times makes you appreciate the times of refreshment.
That's right.
And, you know, I think back to my college days, remembering the days I used to eat ramen, instant ramen every day to save money. And I appreciate the fact that I can actually buy groceries and have home-cooked meals now. That makes me appreciate these times even more, remembering those days. I remember the asthma attacks I used to have as a child. And it makes me appreciate being able to breathe right now.
Looking good.
I haven't taken an inhaler in years. Like, my asthma's gotten a lot better. But remembering those moments, remembering the days of darkness, the days I could not breathe, make me appreciate right now. Amen? Remembering the days I felt lonely, I felt like I had no one in my life, makes me appreciate the friendships I have right now. Remembering the days of darkness, when I was trapped in a life of sin, overwhelmed with guilt, it makes me appreciate the forgiveness of God even more, and the freedom that comes with following the teachings of Jesus.
Come on, bro.
Remembering the days of darkness helps you to appreciate the light even more.
Yeah.
And Solomon doesn't say we should sulk in the difficult times and dwell on it. He just says to remember it. But what is your habit? What keeps you from viewing every day as a blessing? I find it interesting that Solomon calls out people who are young. He calls out the youth. He says, be happy while you're young. Enjoy the days of your youth. And I think Solomon is writing here from the perspective of someone who is not youthful anymore. He's older. Someone who might have lost his youth and learn to appreciate it even more. And is realizing just now how great it was to be young. And guys, we're still young.
Yeah.
We still have a lot of life left to live. He's speaking to us here.
Yeah.
We still have the opportunity to make the most of our youth and to appreciate the blessings God has given us today. Mm-hmm. We don't want to wait till we're old to truly appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
We should do it right now. As Solomon is on this search to find out what gives life meaning and how we can live life to the full, his first conclusion is this: every day is a blessing. And this is elevated even more by another thing he notices, and I want to talk on that. And what he notices is a little scary. He notices that life is short.
Mm-hmm.
Life is unpredictable. And he definitely talks more about this in the final chapter of Ecclesiastes. But the first time he mentions this is in chapter 9. And so I want to go back a little bit and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I have it up on the screen. Ecclesiastes 9, starting at verse 11.
Come on, Caleb.
He says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. And so here we see Solomon's second conclusion. And that conclusion is tomorrow isn't guaranteed.
That's right, come on.
Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Life is unpredictable. And this might be a scary thing to think about because we all want to live a long and healthy life, but you really have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Life is just so unpredictable. I mean, who would have thought that the Jets would have beat the Eagles?
That's right.
Oh, no.
You can't predict that. You cannot predict that. They were undefeated. It had never been done. Who would have thought that there would be a worldwide pandemic in 2020?
Right.
Nobody predicted that. It changed everyone's lives. And who would have thought that the MTA was going to raise the MetroCard fare?
Oh,
it's heartbreaking. Unpredicted things happen all the time, right? You can't predict what tomorrow brings. It's so unpredictable. And Solomon is expressing the fact that there's no equation that will show you what will happen in the future. Just because someone's strong doesn't mean they're gonna win. Just because you're born a genius, it doesn't always mean you're gonna get rich. Just because you're really talented doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna get famous, right? There's no like specific equation that's 100% correct. And I find it interesting that Solomon mentions here in verse 11, he says, the race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. He's basically saying, hey, even if someone looks way stronger and way bigger, it doesn't always mean they're gonna win. And I find it interesting that Solomon says this because who is Solomon's father? David. And who did David defeat? David defeated Goliath. He defeated the odds. All right, the odds were not in his favor. If he had to predict who would win that fight, people would pick Goliath all day long. All right, tomorrow is not guaranteed. And for us, as young people, right, we tend to think we're invincible. We think that we have all the time in the world, and I've been there, I still kind of think that a little bit, right? We think we're young and healthy, everything's gonna be fine, but we shouldn't base life decisions or very important decisions on something we're just predicting about, on tomorrow, which is unpredictable. And because life is so unpredictable and tomorrow isn't guaranteed, Solomon, and he gets to this, but Solomon is saying that we should make the most of our time. We should spend our time wisely.
Yeah.
Right? We shouldn't put things off that we would regret putting off because we don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. And a scripture that really reminds me of this is in James chapter 4.
Come on, Caleb.
Come on, bro.
Go to James chapter 4. Let's start in verse 13. James says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if this is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We'll stop there. But if we really want to live life to the full, then we can't be naive to the fact that life is short. Life is unpredictable. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed. And like I was saying before, as young people, it can be difficult to have this mindset. because we think we're invincible, we think we're strong, we have a lot of life to live. And this can be dangerous because it becomes much more tempting to push things off, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. And I think there are two main things that keep us from having this mindset of tomorrow isn't promised. And the first thing is that we think we're really good at predicting things, right? And number two, which is kind of what number one leads into, predicting leads to procrastinating. Mm-hmm. Predicting leads to procrastinating. Sometimes we try to predict what our life will look like years from now, or what it would look like if circumstances changed. Like, oh, my life will be easier and better when I have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Or, oh, it might be easier to read my Bible consistently after I graduate or after finals. Or, oh, like I'll start giving contribution later on when I get a high paying job after college. Or I'll start learning more about God and follow Him when I'm less busy. But guys, this is a dangerous mindset to have. Life is way too unpredictable to be taking chances on your relationship with God. Because tomorrow isn't promised.
Yeah.
As young and healthy as we are, we shouldn't push off the things that truly matter. And I want to ask you guys this.
Good point.
If you had 24 hours left on earth, what would you prioritize? Mm. What would actually be meaningful to you at that point? Would you still push these things off? Or would you prioritize God now? Mm. Would you decide to go after repentance and changing things in your life now? Would you resolve any conflicts with your family or friends now?
Come on, Caleb.
Would you appreciate all the blessings God has given you right now? Mm. It's a completely different mindset from thinking that we have all the time in the world. Because we don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think the scriptures are calling us to be paranoid about if tomorrow's gonna come. But I think it's calling us to live a life without regrets. God isn't calling us to be anxious about if tomorrow is coming, but rather He wants us to have peace of mind whether tomorrow comes or not. If you do this now, if you prioritize God now, then you won't need to bet on if tomorrow comes or not. You won't need to base your salvation on a prediction of your life. You won't regret not having done it sooner. Because guys, tomorrow isn't promised. And so I just want to encourage you guys to prioritize this now.
Yeah.
If you've been wanting to grow in your relationship with God, then why not ask someone about that today? We have an amazing Bible series, Bible study series that has changed my life. And it helped me to grow a lot in my relationship with God. And so if this has been something on your mind that you've just been pushing off, why wait? Why not ask about it today? If you've had something heavy on your heart that you've been wanting to confess or get off your chest, why not talk to somebody today? Why push it for later? If you've been wanting to resolve some sort of conflict or disagreement, why not do that today? If you've been wrestling with the decision of whether or not to commit to God, become a Christian, why wait to make that decision? Do it ASAP, right? If you really want to live life to the full, you need to live with the mindset that tomorrow isn't guaranteed. Amen.
Amen.
In most of Ecclesiastes, there's one phrase that sticks out a lot, and we've read it a lot. It's three words, and it's under the sun.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You've heard that a lot. He's exploring things under the sun. And here's, I'll just put up an example of Solomon using this phrase in a statement. In Ecclesiastes 1, the very beginning, verse 14, Solomon says, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And so here's an example he uses under the sun. And he says, everything under the sun is meaningless. And basically, what Solomon is saying when he uses the phrase under the sun is he's referring to a common premise that was around there. And this premise excludes God in eternity. It excludes the idea of God and eternity. And so through this entire study on what gives life meaning, Solomon purposely uses an earthly point of view, a point of view that's under the sun, that doesn't even regard God or eternity in the equation. And at the end of it all, and we see here, at the end of it all, he concludes that there's no meaning under the sun, with this under the sun view of life. And so he shifts from this mortal view to eternal, mortal view to an eternal view of life. Because he finds that life under the sun, life without considering God and eternity, is meaningless. He says it right here. Everything under the sun is meaningless. And when he started to consider eternal life and what's beyond the sun, Solomon's final conclusion for how to live life to the full is literally just three words. He starts off his final chapter of Ecclesiastes with three words, and this is his final conclusion here. And he comes to the conclusion that life under the sun is meaningless, but life beyond the sun has all the meaning. And so, the third conclusion he comes to is that we need to remember our Creator. He says, remember your Creator. And so let's just read here, because those are the three words he starts off chapter 12 with. So let's read through chapter 12.
Come on, Caleb.
He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sounds of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along the desire, and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. All right, we'll stop there. There's a lot here. All right, we just read through a lot. It can seem kind of confusing, but it's honestly very simple. This is a long and very poetic way of saying that there is no meaning to be found outside of God.
Right.
So that we should find God before our time is up. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, remember your Creator before your time is up. Find God before your time on earth is up. And that's why Solomon says to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The youth are often the most difficult to convince that life is merely a brief prelude of eternity. It's basically what it is.
It's true.
Because there's a bigger picture there. This is not all there is. There's beyond the sun. That's what he's saying. Once you add eternity to the conversation, life makes much more sense. It's no longer meaningless. But it's pointless if you don't connect with God before your time on earth comes to an end. And Solomon explains this. This whole paragraph is him explaining that further. And he goes on to describe time passing and people aging and becoming more frail and weak. And then he ends with, for a man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. And then he continues with a similar statement about how fragile life is. See, he's bringing all these conclusions together. How fragile life is, but how at the end of it, God still reigns. He's still there. And in verse 6, he says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. And this is Solomon again pleading with his readers to remember God before this life is over. And all these different examples he brings up are metaphors to describe his life ending. And so he said, remember God before your life ends on earth. And this is why it's so important to remember your Creator in this life, because when this life is over, everyone's going to answer to God. Everyone's going to answer to the eternal God.
That's right.
This is what should matter way more than anything else under the sun. Solomon went through any possible thing you can try to put meaning in, and he said it was meaningless compared to God. It's meaningless. You should prioritize God more than your career. He says careers are meaningless. More than wealth. He says wealth is meaningless. More than power. He had all the power in the world. And yet this is his conclusion. Remember your God. Right? More than knowledge. More than pleasure. All these other things will fade away. But God and his kingdom are eternal.
Amen.
And in a few minutes here, we're going to have a time of discussion together about what we've looked at today and really what it means to live life to the full. But first, I want to read the final two verses of Ecclesiastes together. And so let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Come on, Caleb.
Let's end out the book of Ecclesiastes, bittersweet here.
Come on, Caleb.
But in verse 13, Solomon says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter.
Okay.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And that's how he ends off here. But the conclusion of the matter, this is the conclusion. After writing much of the book of Ecclesiastes from this premise of, okay, does life have meaning outside of God? This is the conclusion he came to. And Solomon sees here that following God, keeping his commandments, is worth it, right? It's worth it to obey God. And this obedience both pleases God and it's how he's fulfilled in life. He says this is the duty of all mankind. This is how we have a full life, is through living out how God intended us to live. Mm-hmm. This whole question of what is the meaning of life or what is our purpose could be summed up in just one sentence, right? It says, our purpose here is to find God. That's what he's saying. To have a relationship with our Creator and to live like he intended us to. And although fearing God and keeping his commandments might be difficult, it might take some sacrifice, it's worth it. It is worth it. It's worth it because God actually cares. He cares about your well-being. He wants to give you a full life. It's worth it because God knows better than us. He created life. Of course he knows how to live it. It's worth it because following God's commands leads us to eternal life. Right? That's worth it. It's worth it because when our shortcomings and sin overwhelmed us, Jesus came. He came to sacrifice himself so that we could experience life with God.
That's right.
And that is the one piece of the puzzle that was missing with Solomon. Solomon didn't know about Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. But we know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus died for us. And so as we end out here, I want to end with some words from Jesus. And so let's go to John chapter 10.
Amen.
Let's read from the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. stop there. But in the grand scheme of things, our life is only a mist. We have a limited time here on Earth, and I'm sure that everyone in this room wants to make the most of their time here. And if you really want to make the most of your time here, if you really want to live life to the full, then Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
He says it right here. He is the gate. It's through him that we can really have life to the full. Solomon concluded to fear God and keep his commandments. Well, this is how you do it. You follow Jesus, God in the flesh.
Right.
Right. And just like I started off the sermon, I have some good news and I have some bad news for you guys. The bad news is that we've already messed up in keeping God's commandments. We've messed up already. All of us, right? We've all messed up. We've fallen short. But the good news is right here. We have Jesus. Jesus is that gate. He gave his life for us so that we could have a chance to have life to the full. Enjoying the blessings God has given us. Living life with no regrets, not pushing things off for tomorrow or the next day. And not only remembering our Creator, but seeking a relationship with him. Amen. And so I want to open it up for some time of discussion. And you can feel free to discuss with the people around you, maybe groups of three or four. But the three questions I have here, question number one is, what is one blessing in your life that you've been taking for granted? Question number two is, what is one decision that you want to make for God today that you've been tempted to leave for another time? And the third question is, how do you think you could experience life to the full through following the example of Jesus? Amen. Thank you, guys.